This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott.
There was a time. How did we go about it? One step at a time. Now we're happy standing still. I love you still. Everything stays.
The string rock quintet Darlingside is based in New England, but its lineage includes California pop harmonies, Appalachian roots riffs, and classical arrangements, all shadowing that full-on American mongrel we call rock music. After earning high praise and an eager following for a self-produced EP, Darlingside is rolling out a new subscription album called Pilot Machine throughout 2012. We're listening to the song Still from the new album. Darlingside is playing tonight at the Spotlight Cafe at Concord's Capital Center for the Arts, and we welcome two-fifths of the band before tonight's gig. Harris Passeltiner plays cello, guitar, and bass, and sings. Harris, great to have you with us.
Thanks very much. Great to be here.
Also with us is Hopkinton homeboy Sam Kapala. He plays drums and sings. Sam, great to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Okay, I have to say, we were listening to that song this morning, and three of us were humming it in our little pod. It's got this kind of sticky melody, this tight vocal harmony. We thought of Beach Boys, clever lyrics. Can I call you a pop band?
I think it is.
You'll
certainly
let that
happen. one of the things that we're okay with. Yeah,
retro pop.
Okay, that's a better distinction. So, give us a little bit of background on the rest of the band.
So we all met at Williams College, where we all went to school. We're different years, but we got started kind of when Harris and I graduated. We were the two youngsters in the band. And we moved to Northampton, Mass. Immediately after graduation, and kind of started doing our thing there and trying to get into the music community there and writing and rehearsing and recording and doing all of the things that bands do to try to get a start.
And there are others of you, Don Mitchell on guitar and vocals, Oyan Mukherjee on mandolin, violin, vocals, David Senft on vocals, bass, guitar. Quite a mix. I'm wondering how these five members and very different influences come together on a song like Still, which I guess, Harris, you were the seed for that song?
Started writing it, and like all of our songs, that ends up being a collaborative process when we bring it to five individual songwriters with various tastes and backgrounds in music. So,
and you're the cellist in the band, and I understand quite a distinctive cellist.
I guess reasonably distinct player.
but I'm hearing like first cello in the Chicago Youth Orchestra, distinctive.
I did play a lot of classical and especially focused on chamber music, piano trios, so formal chamber music. And other members of the band also have formal training in choral arrangement, jazz, Celtic, world musics, and playing on street corners.
So this is not just your pickup band with people who are like, oh, I can play a few chords. I'd love to hear more about the album. Now, this is a subscription model for the albums. You're releasing it in installments. So what's behind the model? I don't know which one of you wants to pick that up.
Well, I guess we decided when we first got into the studio together as a band that we wanted to have an album experience, which is nowadays lamented and seems to be lost with sort of the shifting music industry and little MP3s and sound bites, kind of the digitization of music. Mm-hmm. And so what we decided is that we wanted to combine a bunch of different media, like the digital and vinyl and CD release and videos, and sort of unroll all the different types of music in small fragments building up to the bulk of the album when we finally release it. So we thought it'd be fun to have sort of a six-month album experience where bonus tracks come out and we get to release these small bites that people can pass around through videos, web links, and sort of get along on board for the experience, and then at the end still receive a full traditional album also offered in high fidelity formats and vinyl. So it's kind of the firing on all cylinders, mm-hmm. rather than looking for one niche.
So it's like they used to, you know, Charles Dickens used to release novels in sort of little summarized forms and in you know, just little segments. Is that
exactly
what you're kind of doing?
Yeah.
So you have the full, you know, Oliver Twist at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hope so.
But still, it's your single. I mean, can we still call it a single? Do we do that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a number of singles that we'll be releasing before the album comes out.
So you're actually putting out vinyl little installments of these too, like with actual A-sides and B-sides like they used mm-hmm. to do back in the day.
Exactly.
Well, is that a decision that comes up now? You know, I grew up, I'm aging myself, but I grew up listening to, you know, 45s, A-side and B-side, or albums, you know, first song, second side. You have to think about that kind of thing.
Exactly. What we wanted people to do is be able to take time out of their day and actually put the album on and enjoy the listening experience and really get into the music, and that's why we're offering it on vinyl as well.
And still, is that a digital freebie now, too?
It is a digital, yeah. If you know, from our website, darlingside.com, or from pilotmachines.com, which is the album website, we are offering that for free, and it'll also be the first track on the full album when that comes out.
Here's another one, Drowning Elvis. This is the next installment of Pilot Machines. Song Drowning Elvis from the band Darling Side, two of whom are with me here today. They're going to be playing at the Capital City Center for the Arts, or Capital Center for the Arts in Concord, this evening. We have more information about their new album, the band, and the songs at wordofmouthradio.org. It's a very haunting song there. I mean, I'm thinking any evocation of Elvis has a kind of resonance to it, but it also made me think of Jeff Buckley, you know, the singer-songwriter who drowned in Memphis, in the Mississippi in Memphis, what, 10 years ago? 97, I think it was. Any
years ago.
He's an important touchstone in our music, definitely. His album Grace is actually a favorite of ours because of its dynamic range and cross-genre appeal. It's just, he'll change it up. One song will be a traditional folk song, and then the next one is an old English hymn, and then it'll be a hard rock song, and that kind of dynamic range is actually reflected on Pilot Machines, our upcoming album, and we do listen to him a lot because he especially crafts songs around a core melody. The melodic structure is self-standing and very powerful, and so we really appreciate his music in that sense.
And there's also, you know, the sort of promise of the moment. You know, he had just released Grace or was working on his next album mm-hmm. when he did drown, accidentally by all accounts. But, you know, that's kind of where you guys are. You know, you've made your second, you've made this EP, very well received. Now you're on to your second thing. I'd be really curious to think about talk about how you go into your second effort. How was it different than the first time?
Well, it was different in a few ways. I think, you know, the first EP, we did everything ourselves. We recorded it in our basement. We had written the songs over the period of a couple of years and taken them on the road a little bit and sort of had the chance to flesh out some of the ideas on the road. And for the most, you know, our upcoming album, Pilot Machines, we actually recorded it in our house again, but this time with the influence and considerable expertise of a producer, Nathaniel Kunkel, uh-huh. Who is L.A. based, and the songs, you know, came from different places. Some of them had been toured on the road, so we had a chance to work through some different arrangement ideas. Others we hadn't played at all. And sort of came together in the studio. Others we had toured but weren't totally happy with and completely reworked in the studio for an entirely different feel. And I think the sort of, you know, a more mature approach to songwriting is also reflected on the album, and even more diversity compared to the EP. You know, we've got even more, you know, higher highs and lower lows. Uh-huh. So
you actually recorded the album here in New England, in what, Western Mass? Or
Western Mass.
In the house that we all lived in together. Uh-huh. We all, for our first 2 years, all lived in one house, and we recorded it in the bedrooms, in the basement. So it has that character, and it's right by the river. We could take breaks and go outside and swim and stuff.
Uh-huh. Like rocks, you know.
It was really great.
But then, and then how do you work with the producer after that?
Well, we actually worked remotely. We mixed it remotely by having FaceTime chats on the computer, and then ended up flying out to Los Angeles for the final week to mix and master it.
I guess that's how bands have to work now. I mean, you know, it's not like you have to be in L.A. or New York necessarily. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of creativity coming from all circles of the United States, a lot from this area, a lot from New Hampshire, and rural mm-hmm. places where you didn't think that, you know, people could make it. How is that changing?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the internet is sort of the big, you know, center of all of that change in a lot of ways in the music industry. And I think it does enable bands to get their stuff out, so to speak, to a wide audience without putting, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles on
right.
the van. So it is interesting, and the technology allows us to do that remote work, and, you know, the portability of recording gear allowed our producer to come to us and work with us in our home. So there's a lot of sort of shifting paradigms in the music industry, and the challenge for us is to figure out how to get our sound out and how to make the most of all these new technologies, and ultimately how to figure out, you know, how to make enough money off of them too. So,
well, what can still happen though is songs can still be broken on the radio. So we're going to break another track here.
Yeah, and this is actually the first time that this stuff has been played on the radio. So that it is pretty cool. It's sort of the world premiere.
I feel like I should develop some kind of old timey voice. You know, like coming at you with the new song from Darling Side is "Blow the House Down." This is actually "Blow the House Down." This is from the new album coming out from Darling Side in drips and drabs. "Blow the House Down." Let's hear it.
This one goes to market. This one makes a meal at home. This one has closets. While the have-nots down the way.
Blow the House Down from Pilot Machines. That is an upcoming album, but you can still get some of the songs that are being released in the subscription model from the band called Darling Side. Harris Passel-Tiener is with us, and Sam Capala. They're both with the band. They're playing tonight at the Spotlight Cafe at Concord's Capital Center for the Arts and rolling out this new album, Pilot Machines, bit by bit in these first months of 2012. So you just talked, Sam, a minute ago about making enough money. Do you guys all have day jobs, or are you throwing it all at music? What are you doing?
So we started out sort of moonlighting in various day jobs, coffee shop jobs, pizza shops, things like that, and then ended up moving towards pretty much 100% music. So that means people take side gigs as well, playing on, like, tracking on various other mm-hmm. albums and projects as well. And Sam does some side stuff as a recording engineer as well. So, but we are fully committed to the band project as the main goal.
That's the main goal. It's
not a side job.
Well, yeah, it's not. And, you know, focusing on the albums, putting a lot of attention and care into that. And also, from what I can see from your website, a lot into your community. There is a lot of kind of interaction. The blogs are all sort of live. There's a lot of news. There's a lot of back and forth. Mm-hmm. And a frequently asked question, by the way, who is the darling of Darlingside? Is anyone willing to admit?
The darling of Darlingside.
Is there a darling?
It is. I think sort of, you know, sort of like the songwriting process, there are, I mean, I don't know if there's any one single Darlingside. I think the darling of Darlingside, excuse me. I think, we are unusual in that way. We don't really have a front man.
Mm-hmm.
We've got five guys.
Five
who
darlings.
Each, yeah, five darlings.
It's a very, very bandy band. It's sort of a total democracy.
And we can hear it in the harmonies. I really want to thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We're going to leave you with a song from Darlingside's first EP. This is called The Catbird Seat. Now, Sam Kapala and Don Mitchell, Oyon Mukherjee and David Senft and Harris Passel-Tiener are Darlingside. They're playing tonight at the Spotlight Cafe at Concord's Capital Center for the Arts, rolling out this new album, Pilot Machines, Bit by Bit, in the first months of 2012. You'll find a link to the digital download of that song, Still, we played at the top. Also get details on the show tonight and much more on the band. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. And you can follow our decidedly un-rockstar posts and conversations on Facebook and on Twitter. You can't sink on solid ground. Words like that don't make a sound. Now coming up, Renaissance fairgoers no longer as fair as the days of yore. That's when Word of Mouth continues on NHPR.